And welcome back. Rich Hurl here with you, filling in for Michael Cohen for this segment of the 1320 WILS Capital City Recap. Great to have you with us here on this wet and chilly Thursday, as the rain is going to be sticking around here for a while. Get used to it. We got showers continuing into tonight and into tomorrow as well. Tonight, the overnight low, it's not really going to go down that much. Expecting a low of around 40. I'm not even sure it got up to 40 degrees today. It sure didn't feel like it outside, but it's great to have you with us here tonight. It is spring. You know, we got the rain. That's better than snow. We're getting closer to summer. Before you know it, you'll be on vacation, and the tourism season will be starting up. And speaking of the tourism industry, been a little bit of a struggle that happens off and on with schools when they talk about starting the school year before Labor Day. A little bit of a struggle there, because we've had some in the tourism industry who have said that takes away some of their dollars, some vacation dollars, because kids go back to school and so they got to stay home. They got to stay in town. And now traditionally the school year starts after Labor Day. That's the traditional start of the school year. Although these days, not so much. A lot of other schools, they've gone to the kind of the year-round calendar, the balanced calendar, if you will. So some are starting before Labor Day. They're starting in August. You can, through a waiver with the Department of Education. And now there's legislation that was just introduced last week and was actually part of a Senate committee hearing this week. It happened on Wednesday. Legislation in which schools would not need state approval to open before Labor Day, to open in August, if classes were not held on Mondays and Fridays. This is kind of an attempt to extend kind of that olive branch, so to speak, to the tourism folks. But is that good enough? Let's find out. From Deanna Richardson, who joins us on the other end of our line. She is the president and CEO of the Michigan Lodging and Tourism Association, based out of Okemos. Deanna, good evening. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Rich.
Absolutely. Great to have you with us. This legislation that's been introduced that I just mentioned in the preamble there, what's your take on what's being proposed here? 3-day week, 4-day weekends for those schools, for those students who go back to school before Labor Day.
Yeah, well, we appreciate the, as you called it, the olive branch, the effort to give a compromise with the tourism industry, but we think that it just doesn't go far enough, and especially for those communities that are very dependent on tourism for their economies thriving. This is going to really hurt in many ways. It will hurt the traffic to their communities and their tourist destination sites. It will cut the labor force drastically when high school students, who they depend upon for their employees, when those kids go back to work, they go back to school, they won't be available for work.
How far would this have to go? I mean, what would have to happen in order to reach a compromise that would make both sides here happy?
We offered a couple of compromises as well in the Education Committee hearing this week on Tuesday. Fortunately, that wasn't received sufficiently to hold up the vote out of committee. We asked that this be further investigated before the bill went any further. We offered two suggestions. One, educators are claiming that they can't comply with the post-Labor Day school statute because the state recently increased the mandate for the number of days of instruction from 175 to 180 days. To address that concern, we said that we support returning to the standard that was in place before the post-Labor Day school mandate first became law, and that was in 2005, the state standard that required 180 days of instruction or its equivalent of 1,098 hours of instruction. And in providing that flexibility, schools could add, you know, up to 20 minutes to the length of their instructional day and thereby reduce the length of the school year by up to 2 weeks. Gently increasing the duration of their school day would not only enable schools to open after Labor Day, but it would also reduce operational costs, saving taxpayers millions of dollars. The other thing that we offered was educators keep pointing out that Michigan and the United States lag other countries in the number of days of instruction, and that our country needs to step up to meet the competitive challenge. And we would agree that in the interest of advancing student outcomes, we would support language that would allow those schools that offer 195 days or more of instruction to waive the post-Labor Day school start requirement. So currently it stands at 180 days, and there's a lot of talk about we need to have kids in class longer days, then let's really, rather than just shuffling and making this big argument about, you know, do we start before Labor Day versus go farther into June, that's another option, mm-hmm. which doesn't seem to be gaining any traction, really look at what they're arguing for in terms of getting kids in classroom longer.
We're talking with Deanna Richardson from the Michigan Lodging and Tourism Association. Now, this topic was discussed last night here on this program. The regular host of the show, Michael Cohen, spoke with acting East Lansing School Superintendent Dori Lako. And Dori Lako, she didn't say she was for it, but she didn't sound like she was against it, this legislation. She said that it was definitely something that at least her school district anyway, could really take a look at based on when school ends this year for the district, a little later than normal. But she talks about that in this clip that I want to play you from last night's show, Dori Lako with our regular host, Michael Cohen.
Is that something right. that would help the district somehow to be able to start before Labor Day?
You know, we don't get out this year until I think June 15th is our last day for students, which is later than what, you know, a lot of families are used to. In terms of our secondary students, especially at the high school, a lot of our students and families are back for either sports or other extracurricular activities that begin in August. So I think as long as we have the ability to communicate that well in advance to our families, mm-hmm. I think it would be something that down the road might be good for the district.
What about that, Deanna? If the school year starts, you know, in before Labor Day in August, I mean, you would think that the school year would end earlier, you know, maybe around Memorial Day. Would an early end of the school year, would that make up for, you know, any tourism business that's lost in August? Or would the negatives still outweigh the pros?
That is probably the most important point when it comes to the tourism industry in Michigan. Our two most predictably warm weather months are July and August. August has historically been the largest tourism spend month in Michigan. And so you're right, the benefit to ending to be available more in June over August does not even out for the tourism industry. We would lose a lot of people that would be traveling on vacation in June. They would not choose to travel in Michigan because we don't have the warmer weather typically that's predicted for June. Our post-Labor Day mandate was based on data that shows that July and August have historically been the highest tourism months for Michigan. Mm-hmm. And NLTA has polled Michigan voters almost every year since the law went into effect, and those polls have consistently found landslide voter support. So we do tabs across demographics, and so families that have adults who are of the age of having families and children in school, by far, 64% of Michigan voters support starting school after Labor Day. So it's really interesting that we keep hearing the legislators talk about the importance of local control and school boards talking about the importance of having kids in school. But really, local control should come right down to the parents. And if parents are saying that they would prefer to start after Labor Day, then let's look at some alternatives that can solve everyone's desires and needs. The parents, the schools, legislators, and the tourism industry.
And Deanna, before we let you go, where do we go from here? Where is this legislation at right now, and what's ahead in terms of the approval process or even on your side of things, the fight against this bill?
Yes, we saw the bill come out of the Education Committee on the Senate side. That is now on the floor with the full Senate. We're not expecting that that's going to go very far, especially when we've got Senator Hansen from West Michigan in a leadership role, very, very strongly in favor of post-Labor Day school start. That said, this is a very, very hot issue. We understand and we're concerned. We share the concerns as parents ourselves in the tourism industry with other parents that were supporting the improved educational outcomes for students. But we will be fighting this. We will be working on amending legislation. We're looking at trying to tighten the loophole of the school waivers that are allowing more and more schools to start before Labor Day.
Deanna Richardson, President and CEO of the Michigan Lodging and Tourism Association. Deanna, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Rich.
And you are listening to the 1320 WILS Capital City Recap. Rich Earle here with you, filling in for Michael Cohen on more compelling talk radio 1320 WILS.